Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that was good. That would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. We'd run. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
On 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, alongside former Badgers Derek Engler and Tarek Saleh, here's Alex Gravatt.
It is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Good evening, everybody, from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company's downtown location. All four of them are fantastic. This one downtown always has a special place in our hearts, though. In for Alex Gravatt tonight, my name is Jesse Nelson, your cousin's sub of the day, and I am joined by a couple of UW Athletic Hall of Famers. You know them. Derek Engler not with us tonight. He will return. He might actually join us a little bit later in the show. We're going to find out. It's kind of a crapshoot. We never know with that guy. This is Tarek Saleh, newly inducted into the UW Athletic Hall of Fame. This is the first time I'm hosting the show with you.
Yeah, you're not Alex G, man.
I'm not Alex G. No, it's a different vibe with me. I got to admit, I had the big shoes to fill. Literally, like he has very large feet. And Barry Alvarez, UW Athletic Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, former Badgers head coach, former director of athletics. It is an honor for me to share this headset with
I'm
you.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be with you tonight.
Awesome. Thank you for having me as your guest here on this show, and plenty to talk about on the Wisconsin Badgers front, falling to Penn State over the weekend at Camp Randall Stadium. Hard-fought contest at Camp Randall, but the Badgers come up just a little bit short, 28-13, the final score on Saturday evening. Guys, plenty to dissect from the game. Barry, I want to start with you. Just watching that game Saturday night, how it all unfolded at Camp Randall, raucous atmosphere, under the lights, it always feels extra special. And the Badgers played a hard-fought game, just couldn't come up with a win at the end of it.
Yeah, you know what? I thought going into the game, Penn State was a better team. But playing at home with our atmosphere, you have a chance. And I thought our guys battled. I thought our guys really got after it. And we had a chance. We had a chance to make some things happen. We didn't make some plays when we could have. But I thought we played well. Not well enough to win. You have to really play well. And you have to get a few breaks. Penn State, I give them credit. Franklin had them ready. They didn't come in here to win some of these games like that. You need them to stub their toe a little bit, drop the ball, make some mistakes. And they didn't. They played well. And they played like one of the top couple teams in the country.
Yeah, no question. Hey, Coach, I sat in the end zone for the first half. I like the end zone because you get that cut where you can see the D-line, O-line. And I was really impressed with Penn State's speed and their ability to you know, chase the ball. And like, now we made some things happen, and we got some first downs. The punter had a nice play. We hung around, but then I think that speed, you know, in a baseball analogy, I think we were playing against 85, 90-mile-hour fastballs. Other than maybe Alabama, we saw a little bit more. But most of the time, you know, Rutgers and Purdue's, they're like an 85. This was a 95-mile-an-hour fastball defense, and we just weren't up to speed. And maybe that's more practice, more time. The quarterback getting a little bit more maturity because I think he hurried himself a lot, especially in that interception. He felt compelled to throw it, and it wasn't necessary. That's our buddy Keith Decker. He just came in, just walked in.
Yes, the audience.
We had our security guard.
Our security guard's eating a sandwich over here.
The rest. There's no more room for anybody that wants to come down and watch. Yeah, this crowd is full. Keith took the last seat.
But I just thought that it was just the speed and it was a little bit overwhelming. And you know, our defense was on the field too long, and eventually that's what happens. And you know, when we were playing, Coach, you know, we're handing the ball off and we're wearing their ass down.
You know what, Tarek, I think that was really well said, and a very good observation. I saw the same thing. They were much faster than we were. Their team, particularly on defense, was much faster than we were. And that's, you can't teach that. You can't teach that. You recruit that. And James Franklin has done a heck of a job of bringing in players with speed, and they can run. And what he's done, he's recruited a team at Penn State that can play with the teams in the South because they have more access to speed in the South. And I don't want to get into that whole thing, but that's a fact. And they can play with the Southeast Conference, and they can play against them and be very competitive, and that's hard for us. We have more trouble with that than somebody try to line up and slug it out with us.
And I think Coach Fickell sees it, and, you know, I don't think he's going to obviously share this with the team, but he's going, I see, you know, at least we were in the ball game. We were right where we needed to be, and we're with what we have, we're doing pretty good. There are a lot of good things there. We'll continue to get better. And maybe by the end of the year, we could play with Penn State. But he knows his shortcomings, and he'd say, listen, but at least
those guys played.
Yeah,
they played hard. Our guys played. They played hard. It was a good game plan. We did what we could do.
The Wisconsin Badgers fall to Penn State on Saturday night. We're reacting here on the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Jesse Nelson alongside Barry Alvarez and Tarek Salah. Derek Engler, Alex Gravatt on assignment tonight. 844-770-3776 is the number to get into the show with us tonight. 844-770-3776. Share your thoughts on the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Guys, let's talk about the pick six, because that's what stood out most to me is the turning point in that game. Braden Locke throws the pick six back up in his end zone on third down. All game long, especially in that first half, I felt watching the game at home on TV that it just looked like he was rushing a little bit. Seemed like he had a little extra pep on things. I don't know if it was the big moment.
Bad decision.
That was a bad decision.
That happens to quarterbacks. I see it on Sundays. I see it on every Sunday. It was a bad decision. And so, shame on him.
Yeah.
But that's what happens to quarterbacks at times.
He rushed himself. He was hurried up because they were faster, and he felt compelled to move faster. Again, back to the baseball, we had the World Series on tonight. I remember second grade, third grade, and I go, you're going against the fifth grade pitcher, and he's throwing heat at you, and you just swing because you think it's the right thing to do. You have no clue what's going on. Unfortunately, he was caught in the moment, and he felt like compelled to do it. Didn't need to do it, and it's part of the growing process. And hopefully things slow down for him as we go forward and doesn't do stuff like that again.
I like how, Tarek, you got complimented by Coach Alvarez earlier for your first baseball analogy. You're like, oh, that was good. I'm going to go back to that well again. I'm going to go with another baseball analogy.
I'm hoping I didn't.
Not so fast.
Not so fast.
No mosh.
Two's good. The other play that stood out to me was at the end of the game, the direct snap to the Penn State's running back. When they have the backup quarterback in the game, Drew Aller goes down with the injury. They bring in the backup quarterback, and their offense was still rolling in that second half. We saw the stat on TV how Penn State had dominated the third quarter against opponents all season long, and that was similar against Wisconsin. The Badgers held their own with Penn State. They were still in the game into the fourth quarter, but the direct snap to the running back with the wide-open hole to run all the way for the score near the end of the game really helped clinch the victory for Penn State in its entirety. That play stood out to me, kind of like what you guys are saying, speed and overall power. It just felt like Penn State out-physicaled Wisconsin at the very end of the game. Wisconsin was toe-to-toe with them until the final stretch.
Slow your roll here. I mean, after that pick six, it was over. I just felt like it took all our momentum out.
Yeah.
We were shot. Coach, I don't know.
I agree, Tarek.
Yeah, it was – they controlled the ball. They were – converting first downs, they moving the chains, they were sucking up the clock. You know, our defense was on the field too long, and as football guys, you know, the game room was closed there. I thought it was just not in our favor at all because of the ball control.
So you thought the pick six was the ultimate defining moment of that game on Saturday night. That's where the momentum turned,
yes.
Where you just felt like it slipped away at that point.
Fair statement.
Well, that flipped it. That flipped it.
What is the best method then to overcome that? Because, I mean, you've had quarterbacks who have thrown pick sixes in your time coaching.
No, I don't think I did.
Really?
You never threw the ball.
Well, fair. You've had players who have made costly mistakes.
We pitched it a couple times.
There you go. There, you've had players who have made some costly mistakes over the years. There are ways that your teams were able to overcome that. How would the Badgers have been able to overcome that mistake
on Saturday
night?
You know what? That's really unfair to ask. How do you overcome a turnover? It's a turnover, whether it's a pick six or a fumble. You have to ask your defense to dig in when the other team has the momentum. And it's really a good team, maybe a better team than we are, but at least as good as we are. And we keep giving them the advantage, and it's hard. And so you hope your guys can answer and come up with a play, but it's very difficult.
Yeah, and traditionally our deal was that we ran the ball. We ran the ball. And I'm not saying that's the recipe for this team. Listen, the way they run the ball, too.
We won in different ways.
That's right.
And that's not the answer for everybody. But we had it. We had our formula.
Yep. And the team that imposes their will on whatever formula you're going to run in that fourth quarter, if you're moving the chains and you're taking the life out of the defense, sooner or later the defense loses any sort of control. And our deal was, like, you see Ron in the fourth quarter, I bet you majority of his yards were there because he just wore them down and took their will away. And that's what happened to us. We lost our – we just got too tired. You get tired, you can't freaking respond. And
a half step slow.
Yeah.
Step slow. Guy runs by you. It's a arm tackle instead of putting a shoulder in somebody. And that's what happens.
And they moved the backup came in the game. I forgot when he came in, but that kid was – doing great.
He was awesome.
He ran that.
Yeah, he's fresh.
Yeah, he ran the little option deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just kept moving the chains. And when you move the chains, it's just crushing to you. So we understand where we played hard, but we there are things we need to clean up. There's probably some guys we need to add to that roster in order to get us in a place that we could compete at like that. But we're not far away. If not, there now, but we just got to keep maturing.
And before we move on, I did think there was a lot to feel good about from that performance on Saturday night. I did see, like, even though there was the costly mistake for Braden Locke, I thought he looked generally good, and the offense looked generally good throughout the first 2.5 to 3 quarters of the game. It got a little different when they were kind of playing out of rhythm in that fourth quarter, trying to come back down multiple scores. But I thought there were a lot of good things to take away there. The defense holding Penn State to 7 points in the first half was a big strength, I thought, of the team. What'd you guys think?
Playing the third-ranked team, or maybe by this week, the second-ranked team in the country. And you're playing them nose-to-nose. And you're playing right with them. Somehow you have to have enough juice to finish the game. Whether it's players or scheme or whatever it is, that should give you enough hope that you can compete with anyone.
100%.
That's the way I look at it.
And they're straining and competing, and they're working towards, with a purpose. They're straining. So these kids, they get it, and they can come back, coach, right, this week, review the film and get better and know where their shortcomings were, so that we play against that. I mean, we're going to Iowa City. I mean, that is a huge
challenge,
Coach.
That's going to be a tough game. That'll be a difficult game. That's like our clone. You're playing yourself. You're going down to Iowa City. You're playing yourself. You have to play better than they do. You have to be tougher than they do. You have to endure for 4 quarters.
No question.
That's what you're going to have to do against them. And you just played, if not one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the country, nose to nose, they're 3 quarters. How about doing it for 4? You're capable. So you should come away with this. I would try to build confidence after this game. That's what I would try to do.
So, Coach, if the guys are listening on the team right now, tell us about the Iowa Hawkeye. What's the name of the stadium there?
Kinnick Stadium.
Tell us about the whole approach to Kinnick Stadium. What do they got to do? What do they got to be prepared for when they go in
there?
Well,
Kinnick – they're really close to you. The fans are right on top of you. So, you know, the players are going to hear people. They're like at the bench. They're like 2 yards behind you, and they're going to be in your ear. And you have to shut stuff off. You have to shut everything off. You can't hear them because they're going to wear you out. I was there on both sides, as a coach at Iowa, and then as an opponent of Iowa's, and I knew, and I was a high school coach in the state of Iowa, and we used to sit right behind their bench, so I would see those fans wear the opponents out. So if you have big ears, you better put earmuffs on, because they are going to get after you big time.
And, Coach, what about the locker room? How are we dealing with the locker room?
Oh, the locker room, they're painted it pink.
Yep,
the pink. That's Hayden Fry. That's my mentor, one of my mentors, Hayden Fry. You know, he's a psychologist. He thought if you painted the locker room pink, you know, that mellowed you out. Actually, no one knows this. Powder blue does the same thing. So our locker room is powder blue, our visitor locker room. No one knows that.
But
I don't want them to know that. But it's supposed to mellow you out, pink. But everybody goes in there. We've had guys go into the Iowa locker room and paper it so the players wouldn't see the pink walls, because it was a psych thing. But in Camp Randall, we have a powder blue locker room, and no one knows it has the same effect.
Well, now they do. You just told everybody.
No. I hope we have a huge listening audience. And if not,
the show's a pretty big deal, Barry.
They'll get some information.
We'll get them thinking more about it when they walk in that locker room.
We have more to tell them. We have more to tell them about that, but
we don't want to give it all out right now.
That's for a later show.
Well, look at you guys. This means we got. Well, let's wait till after the commercial break.
I think Engler's down in Iowa City right now, covering up the walls.
That's what he's doing. He's getting ahead of it.
That's why he's not here with
us. Out in front of the pink locker room. Yeah, we'll see if we can check in with Derek Engler a little bit later in the show. That's the Great Dane Huddle. Barry Alvarez, Tarek Saleh. I'm Jesse Nelson in for Alex Kermat tonight. Remember, you can get more per pour. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is a Madison original, brewing award-winning craft beers for 30 years, and now every Monday through Thursday from 3 until 6 p.m., enjoy 20-ounce pints of their flagship and beers. Only $3 from Crop Circle Wheat, Good Dog IPA to the Old Glory APA. Head to one of their locations in Fitchburg, Hilldale, Downtown, or East Madison, and enjoy a bigger and better happy hour at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. More of the Great Dane Huddle next on 100.5 ESPN. Great Dane Huddle, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin on demand. Jesse Nelson in for Alex Gravatt tonight, making me your Cousin Sub today. Cousin Sub, we believe in better, along with the UW Athletic Hall of Famers Tarek Saleh and legendary former head coach and director of athletics Barry Alvarez. Derek Engler off tonight, but he may still join us out of the graciousness of his good heart to share his thoughts on the Penn State game from Saturday night and look ahead to Wisconsin and Iowa this coming Saturday night down at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, a place that you guys are both very familiar with. You're sharing all the secrets of everything you guys know about this Iowa Hawkeyes squad and what they've done over the history of time. A lot of great battles over the years between Wisconsin and Iowa. This week, it's in primetime. It's on a Saturday night. What has you guys most looking forward to this contest in particular between these two very evenly matched programs over the years?
Well, I'm looking for us to rebound and just stay the course, you know. And Coach Fickell's done a great job of keeping these guys consistent, right? It's a long season. And understand that we played a great team last week, but you got to bury that game, you know. Yeah, Coach, we would watch the film. You know, we got a 24-hour rule, whether we win or lose. You watch it, and if you win, you celebrate it. Again, you still have to watch it, and then you put it behind you. You bury it. It's not there because, you know, you got to move on to the next one. And similar when you lose. And so they got to bury the game. Hopefully they did it yesterday. And now we're going to move forward. And, we could play with anyone, especially in Iowa. Again, we're a lot alike, and I look forward to us going in there in a hostile environment and taking it to them. So.
Yeah, I think we're very similar to Iowa. I think we're very similar teams. So I coached at Iowa for 8 years. That was my first college job. Hayden Fry gave me a break. That was my break to get into college coaching. I was a high school coach at Mason City, Iowa. Hayden Fry hired me, gave me a break to get into college coaching. And, we went on and went to some Rose Bowls and did a lot of good things at Iowa. And I have great respect for Iowa and their program. And they're very similar. And we built this program much like Iowa's program. So you have two teams that mirror each other. So who's tougher? They're both built on being physical, both teams. And so who's going to be the most physical team? Who will turn it over more than the other team?
Yep.
That's what it's going to come down to. And so I'm fired up. I'm really fired up to go down and watch this game for a lot of reasons.
I'm excited for it, too, and we have plenty more to talk about there, but I don't get the chance to do this with you guys all the time. Coach, what was your job interview like when you're talking to Hayden Fry back in the day? Like, what was that conversation? Like, did he come to you? Did you go to Hill? What happened along the way there for you to get that break?
I got to think about that. I really don't remember the interview. I don't think there was an interview. I think he called me and offered me the job.
So he just saw what you were doing in high school, and he's like, hey,
I just won a state championship.
Mm-hmm.
Dan McCarney was a grad assistant, and Hayden, when Hayden took the job, Hayden hired Mac because Mac was, he was all energy, and anybody would hire Mac. So he kept Mac. He was the only guy he kept from the whole staff. He was a grad assistant, but he kept Mac. He asked, I want to hire a coach, a high school coach, in the state. I think Mac gave him two names. I think we both, myself and the other guy, went down and talked to Hayden, and he hired me.
Did you expect to get that call someday at that level, or was that like out of nowhere that
No, no, I expected to get. I wanted to go to college football. It was just a matter of time. I was good. I was a good coach.
So.
I went to Iowa. I agree.
I went to Iowa. took this job. I don't want to go into that. But I took the Mason City job. They'd never been any good. 3 years later, we're state champs. And we're going to keep winning state championships. And
you wanted the opportunity.
I just wanted an opportunity.
And that's where it came?
And he gave me that opportunity. I was thrilled.
Who was on that staff? I mean, that staff was one of the best.
Bill Brazier was the defensive coordinator. Never got a head coaching job. Probably the best coach on that staff. Never got a head coaching job. That's a travesty. But Bill Snyder was on that staff.
Kansas State's head coach there. Did great
at Kansas State. Donnie Patterson went to Western Illinois.
Was Bob Stoops on there?
Bobby Stoops was a player and then came on as a grad assistant and then was an assistant coach and went on to Oklahoma.
Guys were loaded down there. That's incredible.
Was Ferentz? Did you hire Ferentz?
Kirk. I keep forgetting. Kirk. I picked up Kirk for his interview first year. He was a 23-year-old grad assistant at Pitt, and we needed to hire an offensive line coach. And Hayden said, you're going to go pick up these guys. Because I was on duty. It was in the summer. And so I was on duty that week. So anybody that came in, I had to go pick them up. And I pick up Kirk. He's 23 years old. He's Pittsburgh, like I am. And I'm thinking, oh, cuz, you have no chance. You're 23 years old. They want experience. But long story short, he gets the job. He's 23 years. But we go to the Rose Bowl that year. Kirk did a great job. And people like – he hasn't left since.
He's been
that was back in 1983, I think.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That's incredible run.
Just to, I mean, just to hear the stories of like how some of this stuff came to be is awesome for me to hear. So, obviously, your history goes way back with Iowa. The Badgers and Iowa have played some great matchups over the years. What is it that stands out differently about this time around? Luke Fickell in his second go-around with Iowa last year, the Hawkeyes came here and were able to win a hard-fought, low-scoring contest against the Badgers. That was the game that Tanner Mordecai got hurt in. You felt like the Badgers had a really good shot until he went down with the injury in that game. What is it about this one, Tarek, that makes you feel like this is a good revenge game and a good chance to get bowl eligible and all the good things that would come with a win on Saturday?
Well, you know, this all depends on the guys, you know, how they respond. And they have the ability to do it, but they got to respond. And, you come off a tough game, and they've played consistent over time. So I would say, guys, keep the course. Stay the course. Be ready. If they are, then – We got a shot, and you can't get it, you know, all the pig crap. You'll smell the manure for miles at that damn stadium. You get the pink locker room. Don't get distracted. You got to stay the course. You got to be focused, and you got to be physical, as Coach said. You got to be physical, and you got to set the tone.
Coach, I've never been to Kinnick Stadium. What's the experience like for fans that are going
down
there?
Great place.
Making the trip?
Great place to play. But what they try to do, they try to make the visitor uncomfortable. So they, you know, this is an old Hayden psychological trick, the pink locker room. Pink makes you mellow. So he paints the locker room pink. So coaches have come in there and wallpapered it and done all that stuff. You know, God damn it, go in there and play.
Just go play.
And it Iowa's a lot like us. They're physical. They're not fancy. You have to play better. Make less mistakes. Don't turn it over. And we'll be fine. We're a good team. They're a nice team. You know, this will be a great game to watch. Because who sticks with it? Who sticks with their plan the best? Who doesn't turn it over? Who can make plays at the right time? That's who's going to win.
You know, in certain games where we've done it in the third and fourth quarter, it's not like – I know against in particular USC and Penn State, we had a little collapse in that fourth
second
quarter.
Second halves haven't gone so well.
But against Rutgers, you know, against South Dakota.
Purdue.
We made things happen in the third and fourth quarter that, you know, that put us in position to win a big game. So we just got to remember that, learn from the Penn State game, and understand that, you know, I was not Penn State. You know what I mean? And if we come to play,
we'll be fine.
We can beat them.
We'll be fine.
It's the Great Dane Huddle, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Jesse Nelson along with the UW Athletic Hall of Famers Tarek Salla and Barry Alvarez. Derek Engler, another one of the great members of this show, a staple of it. I think he's going to join us next. I don't actually know. Tarek doesn't actually know.
I don't know yet either. He's making us wait. He's chasing Goofy, and he's got the family down at Disneyland.
Get in line for the fireworks at night.
Yeah, so
we will see if Derek is able to join us. If not, I have plenty more questions that I want to run by you guys while I'm filling in for Alex Gravatt here on the show. So one way or another, we're going to continue to talk Wisconsin Badgers football. That's straight ahead here on the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN of Wisconsin On Demand. Great Dane Huddle, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Jesse Nelson in for Alex Gravatt tonight, along with Tarek Salla and Barry Alvarez. Derek Engler is not with us. I just messed that up. He's the one person who's not here with us and unfortunately not able to connect with Derek. We will see if we can still do so before the end of tonight's show. He's a busy guy. He's out, like you said, Tarek. He's, you know, trying to track down Mickey Mouse. And
well, it's not cheap in Disneyland, so you know, he's making the most of it.
Yes,
got to
make sure you wait.
But tonight we got the Giants versus the Steelers here. You get the World Series on. You got to come down to the Great Dane downtown. I mean, it's just, the food is great. We just got our food.
Yes.
enjoying the good times.
When I was filling it, I had to go to my go-to from when I did this show all summer long. I got the fish fry, which is my favorite thing to get at the Great Dane. But the wings are awesome.
Burgers are unbelievable.
I see some burgers in front of the rest of the crew here. This is some good stuff here at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. Again, any of the four locations, we love them all. Hilldale, downtown, Fitchburg, Eastside, you name it. They're all great in their own way. The downtown location here definitely always has a special vibe and a special place in our hearts when we're able to be here at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. Again, Jesse Nelson, Barry Alvarez, Tarek Salih with you till the top of the hour. We're taking you into World Series.
We got the Bucks on.
Yep. Everything's on tonight. It's a great night for sports here at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. All right, so I did have a question I wanted to ask you guys about signature wins, if I may. So I do occasionally host our ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show after Badgers games throughout this year. And one of the assertions that I've made throughout this season is, obviously, you want the Badgers to be bowl eligible, you want to be competitive, you want to win every game if possible, but I really wanted to see one true signature win for Luke Fickell in his second season as the head coach of the program this year. To me, coming into the season, there were four games that presented that opportunity. Alabama at home, USC on the road, Penn State at home the other night, and the last remaining one is Oregon coming to Camp Randall Stadium in a couple of weeks. Iowa's a great game to go in, and that might feel like a signature win when it's all said and done on Saturday night in Iowa City. Minnesota, the day after Thanksgiving, is obviously going to be a big game in front of a national audience watching that afternoon. But is there something to a signature win? Is that a crazy assertion for me to make coming into this season, or what are the fair expectations for Luke Fickell looking for that signature win now or in a couple of years to come? Coach? Yeah, he's laughing. He's laughing at me already.
Any win is a signature win.
There it is.
When you're coaching, every win is a signature win. Mm-hmm. So he's had some good wins.
For sure.
He has an opportunity to have some great wins. So I don't put a stamp on or magnify a game, as you have, three or four of them, to say they are signature wins or whatever you call them, because they're all good wins. And just win. Just win. Whatever you have to do, win games.
Coach, you probably take the body of the work more like the season. Like, are you going to – how you know, because you can win one great game. If you're not winning multiple games.
Yeah, you're going to win games. How many of you won?
Yeah.
The body of work. How many of you won through the year? You know, go to the bowl. What bowl game are you going to play in? What level of bowl are you going to play in? Those things are all important.
So for me, I guess one of the reasons that I said that I wanted to see one of those, you know, games against, you know, some of the best teams in the country won this year is because I wanted to see kind of the forward momentum for the program in Coach Fickell in his second season. Last year, kind of figuring it out with all the personnel, and you're trying to find your identity. This year you come in, you feel a lot better about the team that's assembled. It's more of what his vision is for the program that he's building. And if you can get that one, whether it was Penn State the other night or Oregon in a couple of weeks, maybe it is Iowa this weekend, a win that kind of puts you over and says, okay, now we're getting there. This is the returns are coming on.
Hold on, though.
See, you're still laughing at me. Oh, no, man.
Hold on. That, you know, a one-trick pony doesn't get you there. You got to build the culture, which he's – and you got to build the momentum, and you got to build a winning culture.
Yeah.
And, right, Coach? I mean,
yeah,
this is not
– it's not one win get you over the hump. It's consistency. How do you play every week? You may play an Iowa or a Penn State team. Penn State, if they're the second or third best team in the country, if you beat them, great. If you play them tooth and nail to the end and you lose in overtime or you have a tough game with them, you're right there. That tells you some things, too, about where you are. And so don't be so anxious to decide whether one of these games makes the difference whether you are there or not.
Yeah, this is not a zero-sum deal. Like, one game's not going to dictate your career and who you are. It's the whole – it's the sum of everything. And it's most things in life, it's never as bad as it seems. It's never as good as it seems. So you beat Penn State. Are we going to just, like, you know, party all week and then get beat by Iowa in the next couple of days? And then we, but no, you got your signature win, and then we're just, we're all good now?
You know what? It's a funny racket. This is a funny racket. And I can remember talking to my players about this. You have a big win. The next week you're playing some mutt that you should be able to beat by three touchdowns. But if you don't play well, they're going to beat you. And that's the way that you have to teach consistency and learn who you are and all those things. And so it's a process. It's not just week to week. All of a sudden you beat a great team and all you've made it. That is not the end all.
And coach, I remember we want to put ourselves in the best position to be in the best bowl game possible. If that was the national championship, great. If it was the Rose Bowl, which would have been a lot of times the championship. Mm-hmm. We fought to get there. We've been to a bunch of them, but we went to other bowls too. But the body of work was there where we put it in. And sometimes, we had seasons where we lost three or four or five games, but you got eligible, and then you went to a bowl game, and you put all the work in. And that's it. It's a great place to win, right, Coach? You can win your bowl game. The momentum going the next year.
Oh, bowl games. I always felt bowl games were important. I love bowl games. And I try to make it important for my players. Even if they didn't go to the Rose Bowl, if you get to a bowl game, it's important. They're going to be, and I wanted to treat them right when they went to the bowl. I wanted to expose them wherever we were. I wanted them to see whatever they had at that community. Go out and expose them, expose the players to whatever they had. I wanted them to have fun, so they come back and tell the younger players, "We had a great time at the bowl game." And then, the bottom line, we got to win that game.
Mm-hmm. And follow up with that, it's like, we won the Rose Bowl my freshman year, and then we won the Outback Bowl, and then we won the Copper Bowl. But
that's a good example.
And I would have loved to go to more Rose Bowl games, but we built a culture of like making it important to get to the bowl game, win the game. We had big wins at Michigan, we had big wins at Penn State, and these other things, and it was really good. But we had a lot of fun. But thinking back, we mentored these kids, the underclassmen, who went on and win two Rose Bowls in a row. So coach wasn't, it wasn't zero sum on one game or the other, but we continued to build a culture that led to two Rose Bowls in a row, and one of the most epic runs ever. And we were a part of that. And it's a journey,
So let me ask you guys then that, because obviously I'm looking at this one way, you're convincing me to look at it differently. When, coach, did you feel like the program that you inherited, which presented different challenges and opportunities than Coach Fickell's program is presenting him right now, when did you feel like you had started to develop that identity and that success and that culture that you're talking about, what I'm trying to measure right now for this team in 2024?
Well, we went from never winning and going to any bowl games to going to a Rose Bowl in 93. And not only going, but winning. And then going to bowl games after that. And I wanted to continue that. And to me, that's the program I wanted to build here. That we're Wisconsin. We're a good team. We're going to win enough games in our league. If we don't win the league, we're going to be close. And we're going to go to a bowl game.
I love that. Tarik, did it feel that way when you arrived here in Madison? The program had been established at that point. And like you said, the experience you had as a player then helping that next generation of players get to the back-to-back.
Well, I was sold on the fact that we were on the cusp of that. Now, did I think we were going to go to the Rose Bowl my first year that we were there and win the Rose Bowl? The first Rose Bowl that we've ever won in the history of Wisconsin. I didn't think so. But we did it. And then you saw the process, and I'm like, I think we can do this every year. You know, I believe that. Now, we didn't, but we were pretty damn good, and we won a lot of games, and we won a lot of, you know. So the culture was established, and I'm like, I felt like our program was going to be good for a long time, and it was. I mean, 15, 16 years the coach was there, and then afterwards now he built the foundation that, you know, Paul took, did great with, and now Luke is going to take the next step. And they have all these opportunities in front of them. I mean, they look good. Coach was saying, like, they listen, there's a lot of good there. It's just they got to clean some things up, you know, maybe add a few pieces over the offseason, and, you know, we're in a good place. We just got to continue to grow.
And so that's my final question for you here tonight, filling in here on the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. All this, you know, talk of how to measure the success of a program, how to measure the building blocks as this program tries to get to the level that we all want it and expect it to be at. Do we feel like it is on that trajectory, and do we like what we saw from the Penn State game, what we expect to see at Iowa this week? Tarik, are you optimistic that this is all trending the right direction ultimately when it's all said and done?
I am, as I eat my cheeseburger.
That's okay. The food is amazing here at the Great Dane Huddle. I understand.
I'm confident that it's moving the right direction. I think they're, you know, I think we're better than we were last year. I think we have some, you know, we got a chance to continue to improve. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. I understand that, but we're heading in the right direction. And again, it's not a zero sum deal. It's a journey.
I've heard that.
It's a marathon. Yeah, I'm gonna keep saying it. But Coach, right? I mean, it's a process.
Oh, Tarik, you've listened.
I get all
listened.
The words.
You've listened to the choir. You've been a good choir member.
Yeah. I sing my ass off.
You do.
I love it. Coach, final word is yours as Wisconsin gets set to face Iowa this week.
You know
week.
What? I love what we're doing here. I really do. I love what Coach Fickell's doing. I love the I like this team. I like the progress they're making. I think we're a good team. And I think he's only going to get better. And I like his recruiting. I like how he's recruiting. I like the kids he's bringing in. And I think our future is very bright.
Well, I feel like that's a good spot to end this show. I feel like the future is bright, too, mostly because you guys get rid of me and Alex Gratt comes back to lead the show next week. Derek Engler will be back, too. Thank you for having me here as part of the show tonight. Tarik, as always, appreciate it. Coach, first time we've ever shared the stage together. I really appreciate the time.
You did good, boy.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, sir. For Barry Alvarez, for Tarik Salah, for Derek Engler, Alex Gravatt, and Riley Yauch, back our producer in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. My name is Jesse Nelson. Thanks so much for joining us. It's been the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.